Let's welcome an Eagles legend into the studio. It's going to be a weekly basis here as Jason Kelce joins us every single Thursday at this time for an hour, fielding your phone calls and talking some birds. He was already an international star, but since we last talked to him, took his act to ESPN.
That's right.
Jason, how are you, buddy?
How's it going, Joe?
Good, man. How are you?
Good. Happy to be here.
Good,
happy,
man.
To be up bright and early. Productive day. Start off good. Yeah.
Well, hold on. Productive. You're 4 or 5 minutes later. I mean,
it's very true.
Wow. I mean, what would Stoutland say to that?
I would be fined. I would be fined, and I wouldn't be able to look him in the face.
He's not late because
are
of
you,
him.
Are you not as hungry dog as you were a couple years ago?
I would be that dog with its like tail tucked between its legs.
Yeah,
walking into the meeting room.
With the guilty.
Or you could be the Joe DeCamera dog, which was this.
That's
just his dog impression.
He's
in case you're wondering,
a dog, so he doesn't know. Maybe that's why he doesn't know what a dog sounds like.
By the way, Amy from Villanova yesterday said to me, because you know, I a little shot at Mike Quick when we brought him on the show. She's like, you know, Joe, it's not a roast of your guests. You don't have to rip everybody. I'm like, yeah, but everybody ripped me for 7 years. So let me get back.
You called Mike Quick old yesterday, so yeah, no big deal.
He's losing some yardage on his driver.
All right, you have a dog. Speaking of dogs, do you? You have a dog on your shirt that's skateboarding.
Yeah.
Have you skateboarded? Are you a skater?
I tried. I was later because I played hockey.
No way.
Get out of here.
You rollerbladed about like from place to place, like public?
Yes. I played hockey. So like I would rollerblade. We would go. There was like this old like caged basketball arena that they had cut the goalpost down. So it was just the perfect like post to play.
Oh.
As, like, that was the, if you hit the post, you scored.
Yeah,
and
sure.
We would go there and just play for hours. Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah. That's so pretty cool.
Let's get to the ESPN thing. Congrats.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you very much.
So how'd you feel? I mean, I didn't hear all of it. What I heard, I thought you sounded good. You looked comfortable.
Yeah.
Tight shirt. How'd you feel?
Felt great. I mean, it was nerve-wracking to start. Obviously, whenever you're doing something new, you don't really know what to expect, so you're kind of waiting to see what it actually feels like when you're doing it. But, you know, I think that being on a crew that had all done it before with Scott, Ryan, and Swag, all those guys made it really, really easy. And, yeah, it was fun. It was fun to be at the stadium, too. That was one thing that, talking in the process of some of the different opportunities, being at site on the game day, being able to interact with players and feel the fans, like that was something that was, they said was going to be cool, and it was.
You're not going to have far to travel this week, my man.
This is an easy one. Yeah, just walk down the street for sure.
All right, so we'll get to Monday night, you know, coming up, and Jason in the link Monday night in front of obviously all the fans. But let's go back, obviously, to last Friday, Jason.
Yeah.
Before we even get to the game, because I'm just fascinated by your experience, your first Eagles game that you are an observer since before you were an Eagle. I mean, since literally you cared about the Eagles.
Yeah.
So what was it like to watch an Eagles game that you weren't playing in and part of the team of?
Nerve-wracking. Yeah, you don't get to control any of the outcomes, which is the most frustrating thing. You know, you're sitting at home and you're hoping they get it together, especially obviously with the really sluggish start there, the first two drives. You're like, man, what are we doing here? What's going on? And you're also cognizant that it's an away game and there's a lot of new pieces, but you don't know what's happening fully. So you're just, you know, you're just wanting to get, you know, let's get this fixed, guys. Come on, let's go. And
right.
I think it's a different feeling for sure. It's much more anxiety driven, but less stressful, if that makes sense. Yeah, I don't know.
Does it feel like...
Welcome to being a fan.
Yeah, that's right.
Does it feel like you have even more at stake when you watch Cam Jurgens, when you watch him
That's a
play?
Good question.
Yeah, it's a great question. Yes. And I also just like, you know, I know he's a very, very good player, so I'm not like that. Like, I know he's going to go out there and play well, and I'm very confident in that. And I almost like anytime anything goes wrong, I'm like, God, now it's going to just be like another thing that's going to be out in the airwaves or whatever. And for me, it's, you know, I really think really highly of him as a player, as a person. All the skill sets are there and he's going to dominate throughout the rest of the year. So I try not to get caught up in these like little moments early on that, you know, I think he's going to continually get compared to me, which I don't think is fair for him. And then eventually when everybody realizes he's fantastic and a great player, you know, then I'll have to you know, live with the fact that there's a guy that's better than me now.
That's crazy to say, yeah. But this is, it's got to be so, man, proud, almost like family, almost, it sounds, the way you talk, it's almost like a dad talking about a son, you know, like it yeah. really does seem like it's.
I don't want to, you know, it's a friend. It's a friend talking about a friend. And I think that the reality is, and I've felt this way, especially towards the end of my career, but I think I always kind of, you know, the only way you can leave the game and have any impact is through the guys that follow you, right? Like yeah. everything that I did when I played is officially over, right? Like that's all in the history books, and I can live very happily knowing what I left out there. But the only way I can affect the game now is by those interactions that I had with Cam and the team last yeah. year, how I talk to those guys now this year. And, you know, I still want to impact things. I still want to be a productive person to in the building and with those guys. So I think for me, it's, I look for it more like, you know, the only way you can impact it as an older player is by shedding your wealth of knowledge onto those younger guys. So mm-hmm. extremely, extremely happy to be able to do that. And hopefully, you know, it all pays off this year.
John, very, very similar to how Joe Montana passed the baton to Steve Young. Great, graciously.
Oh, yeah.
Here.
Yeah.
There,
yeah. Not at all.
Totally exactly the same thing.
Well, let's get a lot of calls in here. Go ahead,
Terrell, John. The Terrell taking the mantle from Jerry Rice was also not an easy transition.
It usually
that was
isn't.
Not friendly.
It usually isn't. And I just think when you look at all those experiences, whenever the older player doesn't do it, it kind of like tarnishes them a little bit, to be honest with you. I don't know what
right.
it is, and I've yeah. always felt that way. And usually whenever and not even taking examples of like A-list guys, when there's an older player and they get a younger guy in there, if the older player fights it, it almost never pans out for the older guy. Because then like something's
yeah.
off. And
yeah.
I just never felt like it was a conducive relationship. It's not helpful to the guy or the team or the young guy. So it's like, why even get into that mindset? Like it sounds counterintuitive, but the way that you're going to play better and be a better player is to continue to be a great teammate.
You know,
almost all the
well,
time.
Well, this is why Eagles teams are better when you've got Jason Kelce on the roster. I mean, he's just leading others in a very forthright way of thinking.
Well, look at Brent Celek and Zach Ertz. I mean,
yeah.
Brent Celek was the tight end. Until Zach Ertz was. And listen, one thing about Brent, not just being gracious, let's call it, to ultimately be a backup, he reinvented his game. I mean, Brent yeah. Celek, who came mm-hmm. into this league, Jason, you remember, you yeah. know, you were still in college at the time, but he initially, like in 08, Seltzer in 08 in that championship game,
yeah.
he was a pass-catching
yeah.
tight end.
Big time.
And he developed into a hell of a blocking tight end.
Yeah, he almost had 1,000 yards, or maybe had more than 1,000, but he was right up there. And I was fortunate. I was with him at Cincinnati his last year there, so I saw like how good he was.
Oh yeah,
and he kind of like snuck into Philly, kind of unheralded. And but yeah, so like I don't know that there's a few guys you could point to that are like the pinnacle of teammates,
yeah.
and I think Celek is for sure up there. I mean, not just as a blocker or a pass catcher, just overall, just great guy in the locker room and genuinely just wants to win ball games.
215-592-9494 to weigh in today. Of course, Jason will be fielding phone calls here, so you can hop aboard to talk about the game. We'll look ahead to the next one. Also, Phil's totally in the mix as well. Let's go to the phones. And a reminder, in 15 minutes, we're going to give you a name as we give away Eagles tickets tomorrow, courtesy of NovaCare, for the Monday night game. You got to know the name. We're going to say at 8 o'clock today. Know that name tomorrow at 8 o'clock. And you can win the tickets to the Eagles and the Falcons courtesy of NovaCare. Let's talk to Justin. Justin, good morning.
Hey, ladies and fellas. How y'all doing this morning?
Doing great, Justin.
Great accent.
Well, I'm from Tennessee. Joe usually says Justin from Tennessee.
There you go.
Huge fan. I've been calling probably since about 2018. And I'm still nervous every time I call, but I tell you right now, boys, I'm as nervous as a long-tailed cat in a room full of rocking chairs right now.
Wow.
How did I know there was going to be
a long-tailed cat in a room full of rocking chairs? That needs to be highlighted and preserved.
Well, I can tell you this, Justin. Jason's about as normal as a dude as it gets, so just talk like a bunch of guys just talking. Go ahead.
I guarantee he is a big fan. Anyway, what did you see the other night, like out of Mekhi Becton that you liked? You know, it his first game at right guard, and you know, we were all kind of hesitant with what it might be. What did you see that you liked and things that you felt maybe he can improve on?
Yeah, I mean, a lot of things that you like. I mean, he's a big guy. He hits double teams well. He moves people. And I think he can even get better at that. Like, he was really good in the game. But I think even if he gets his pad level down a couple of times on these double teams, it's even going to be more devastating. I saw a surface that was not conducive to driving people, and he was still able to do that and still able to anchor on power rushes, which is hard to do on those conditions. And then a lot of people don't know this, but he was on silent count too. And for our right guard, who's looking back, trying to come back and get the scope of the defense and know what his assignment is, I thought he did really, really well for his first game in the NFL.
Would that have been his first time doing that? Because he only played tackle before. Yes. So the silent is on the guard.
Yep. So it's guard and center. But yeah, the guard is the one getting the indicator from the quarterback.
Right. The center. Right. Yeah. He's checking with the center to make sure and then communicating that back to the quarterback as when the guard does that. When the center tells him to say it's okay to go, the guard tells the quarterback it's okay to go, and he would never have done that a tackle.
He's never been involved in that communication. He's always been playing tackle for the rest of his career. So that's a big, I mean, when you turn your head away from the defense, and the defense does this, they know either the center or the guard is going to turn his head. So they'll game plan and move guys around that guy. So there's communication that's happening between the center and that guy with his head turned pre-snap, because it's a game that the defense plays with that guy.
Yeah. Hey, Justin, give me a great answer. What amazes you?
Real quick before, John, I had some Matt Apple Butter and biscuits this morning that you like so good, and what amazes me, y'all, is Joe the Hammer de Cantaloupe having so much useless knowledge sports in his mind. I love you, boys. I mean it. Jason, right. It's an honor
Thank
and pleasure,
you,
buddy.
Justin.
Hey, it's my honor. That was awesome.
That was great.
All right, Justin. Appreciate
Apple
the call.
Butter. All right, so, I remember that a couple years ago.
Yes.
So, Jason, the field, you referenced it. It's Seltzer, this story has receded quite a bit. Can I tell you why? Because the Eagles won.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, buddy.
Okay?
Yeah.
Jason, in the first quarter, watching that, seeing that so clear.
Yeah.
How ticked off were you?
I was ticked off. I mean,
because I was real. I mean, after what happened 2 years ago, I thought it was a disgrace that the Eagles had to play on that type of field again. A disgrace.
Yeah, it's not a surface that the NFL should put their players on. I think, you know, I kind of had a pre-warning. Like, I was talking to the guys, and I think they knew going into it that field wasn't going to be potentially what it should be.
Hmm.
I think it was worse than anybody expected, and part of that is, you know, they watered it, and it didn't drain properly, and then they painted it, so then you have, like, wet paint slicking around. So it's like there's a lot of stuff going on. It's really unfortunate that surface is the way it is. But I still – I don't know, man. There's something about me that I like football when – the conditions aren't perfect. That's like one of the unique things about football. Like, it's not like any other sport. Like, you have to play what's happening on the field that day, and you got to figure it out. And I think that, you know, the reality is both of those teams had to play there. There's advantages and disadvantages to that surface being the way it is. Selfishly, as an offensive lineman, I always loved when fields are like that because it neutralized any type of pass rush. Like, I think, you know, the good Lord above, that I faced Ndamukong Suh and Nick Fairley in 2014 or 2013, whatever that Snow Bowl was.
2013.
Yeah, like zero pass rush out of those guys. That really helped my game out that day.
Is that why our pass rush was so feeble? Because
could be.
Of the field?
It definitely affects them, especially a guy like Huff, who, you know, likes to bend the edge and get into these extreme positions as an undersized guy. I mean, we saw it in the Super Bowl with Hassan, right?
Big time.
Hassan really struggled because a big part of his game is bending the edge and getting when you're bent more, less of your cleats are really in the ground, and you just have more of a chance of slipping out from underneath you. So
it did seem like Bryce Huff slipped a lot more than other guys.
He did.
Like, it felt like every snap.
Yeah, I know that, you know, everybody's talking about Bryce and all that too, but not trying to make excuses for the guy, but the reality is, like, that field sucks if you're that kind of player.
Yeah.
So hopefully he can have a big bounce back week this week.
215-592-9494. All right, so let's talk about Jalen. Some really good, some not good. How do you think it netted out from? I mean, let me back this up a different way.
Sure.
The interceptions and the near interceptions.
Yeah.
How much of a concern do you think the coaches feel about that in light of they were really trying to avoid that? It was two. It could have been four. How concerned do you think they are?
I think that anytime there's a lot of turnover-worthy plays from anybody, the coaches are really concerned. Because the reality is the biggest metric that determines wins and losses in this league is turnover differential, right?
Yes.
We're the only team that won last week with, what, three turnovers?
Yeah, it was a minus two for the game.
Yeah.
And that's so, pretty extreme.
And you saw it at the end of the game with LaFleur's comments. Like, he knew. He's like, how the heck did we just lose this game with that happening? So, you know, obviously, ton of great stuff. Jalen really executed well against the blitz. In particular, like, even when it wasn't picked up, like, he just was very aware of it, which I was watching very closely to see how he handled, and I thought he did fantastic. He also threw some incredible balls, the ball to Saquon, the AJ on the, like, out and up that he hit for the big score.
Yeah.
I mean, just some really good plays. And then it just felt like he, you know, obviously early on there was all sorts of, like, communication things, but, you know, the two throws in particular felt like he was just pressing to really try and make a play.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think that, those are, you know, you would think correctable. You know, just, hey, let's be smarter in those situations.
How about that? Correctable.
Well, I like correctable. My concern is also sustainable.
How long until he trusts the pocket? It still felt like there were times it was there, it was solid, and he's bailing.
Yeah. I don't know. You know, I never played quarterback, and I don't know what even the quarterback coaches say, right? Like, I don't. And this, as an offensive lineman, you're always like, "Will you stay in this freaking pocket, man? Like, why are you leaving? It sucks."
Exactly.
But
because your job just you just failed at your job because he moved in a way that you didn't expect. So you forget it. You got a zero. Like, your guy just ran off in a direction you were unprepared for, and you look foolish.
But I am going to say, because at the end of the day, there is a timing for the quarterback of. Go through your reads or your progression, and if nothing's there, you staying there is not going to help anything. Like, go out and make a play, and you see this from Pat Mahomes. You see this from the great quarterbacks that really have that next level is, hey, I'm going to come here, run through the play, but now it's time to improvise.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that he has that timing, and are there times where he probably should stay in the pocket and just wait a second longer? Probably, but there's other times where he leaves a pocket and makes a play that wouldn't have happened if he would have stayed there, and it probably would have eventually been a sack or, you know, severe negative play. So I try not to dwell too much on that because I think Jalen overall has a pretty good feel for that. And I think the more the offense has success and the more it gets in this rhythm, he's going to settle down. And because right now he wants the team to play better. He wants the offense to play better.
Sure.
I mean, especially coming off of last season, and selfishly, he wants to play great.
Yep.
The more the offense just function as a well-functioned machine,
all
of that stuff is going to get reined in. I really do believe that.
You know what's going to help his game if he gets it, and hopefully he does. So obviously I want to see him stay in the pocket more. You know, John, you know, I've said it. I'll say it again. Step up, not step out.
Yeah.
Okay. But when he steps out, I do hope he develops stepping out to his left more often and gets better and being effective at it. Here's what it reminds me of. Most of us have played basketball. You know, when you're D'ing up a dude who can only go to his right, it's a lot easier to defend him.
Yeah.
And Jalen reminds me of the guy in basketball who's got a great dribble to his right and can't dribble with his left hand. I don't say can't, but struggles to dribble with his left hand. And I think defenses know that. I'm sure, Jason, they shade him to an extent.
Yeah.
And there's a predictability, which is never good for an offense, for the defensive players to know there's a predictable element there.
Yeah, we played Wink Martindale, not the last game of the year, but the second to last. The first time we played the Giants last year was like the third to last game of the year.
Yep.
And every blitz felt like it was coming off the right-hand side. And I think that they were consciously, I really do think they were consciously doing that so that he could not funnel out to his right.
Yeah, sure.
And I don't, you know, it's a little bit different than basketball because, you know, he's not going to throw with his left hand. And the bottom line is, like, the vast majority of right-handed quarterback teams are going to do rollouts, they're going to do boots, they're going to do a lot of things to the right because it is more conducive for a right-handed passer. But you can definitely keep that honest a few times. It's harder to do instinctually, like trying to freelance because he knows he's better at it going to his right. But, you would like to obviously even it out by going to the left.
And he's just got to plant those. Like, I'll give you an example. Look, we don't normally give Tony Romo too much credit around here, but he was a pretty good quarterback.
He was.
He had one of the best spin moves I've ever seen in football. He would spin backwards where it was just about replanting his foot and
right.
firing.
He
would plant his foot and fire, even though he had moved slightly to the left and backwards to do it. It was a very effective move.
Yeah. And, you know, I would love for him to develop, because what I think Pat does so well with this, honestly, and this isn't a, I'm not like trying to like brag about my brother, but I think him and my brother are always on the same page.
No question.
And when you go into that like situation where now we have to improvise, having one guy that you kind of know what he's going to do, like they do these scramble drills, and the problem with scramble drill is the defense now practices against scramble drill, and it becomes predictable. It's like, we're going to flood this area, so then all the defensive guys are just like going there. And then I watch the Chiefs, and I watch my brother, and he just kind of like, he knows that everybody's doing that, so he just kind of fluffs off to the side, and nobody's there.
Yeah.
And I would love for him to develop that chemistry with Dallas or somebody like. It's harder to do with the outside guys. It's easier to do with those inside players. And maybe it can be like Saquon, like, hey, the moment I get out here, just sneak out of the pocket and just sit right there. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I do.
I do. I love the sound of that. Check it down to Saquon because he's going to take it and go score from anywhere.